Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
It is time for the Hawk Report. The Hawk Report. Brought to you by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Visa credit card, 2% cash back on every swipe. Good morning to you, Jeff. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joining us now. Jeff, concerning injury report for the Steelers yesterday, do we expect Darnell Washington to be back and ready at practice today?
I feel like I'm up in the clouds right now, at least on YouTube I am. There, wow, that's amazing. Listen, I think Darnell's a precaution. I mean, he was walking around okay, so let's look at it as a positive at this point. We don't know anything more about that foot injury. There were a number of guys, I would say, of all of them, and I would have said this last week too, Sam Mallow would be the one. I mean, a pec injury where you tried to come back, you made it through a half, and then you had to leave, and then to try to push it again, we'll see. I mean, it's a physical Chargers team that, you know, they're facing on Sunday.
Jeff, do you think that MVS will be elevated from the practice squad and be ready to go Sunday night against LA?
If he can figure it out enough. I mean, listen, you don't bring him in to sit on a practice squad or wait for somebody else's injury. I mean, he's going to come in and play. And as Aaron, you may have heard Aaron kind of drop a little, like, we've had guys every week come off the P squad and do something on the field, and this is basically going to be no different. So if, as long as he can figure out enough, and really, what do you need? 10 snaps, maybe 10, 12 snaps from him. You know, send him on a few go routes, make it easy for him. And the fact that he's been with Aaron, I think, kind of speeds up the process than what you would see normally.
Jeff, what should we read into, if anything, of the Steelers not making a trade deadline acquisition? What are they playing for the future? Are they not all in, or did it just not work out?
It just didn't work out. I mean, did they want something? Yes. Did they have proposals out there? Yes. But they weren't going to give up a top couple round pick because, you know, they have other needs in the next couple of years, quarterback primarily among them. And I mean, first and second round off the table, third would have had to blow their doors off. And people look at, why would you worry about adding a fourth or a third or a fourth to a package for somebody? Well, those are the types of picks you use to move up in the first round to try to get the quarterback that you're looking to get. So I think they tried. It's hard to say. I mean, it's easy to say right now, listen, they're not all in, but look at the moves they made in the offseason. That would tell you that they're all in. It's just right. They just couldn't find the right suitor. And, you know, Jacksonville made a better offer for Myers.
Does that tell you then in their search for another wide receiver that they don't feel all that comfortable with the group they currently have?
I think they wanted more depth with the group they currently have. And, you know, we've discussed this all year. I mean, it's not an offense where you see a lot of three receiver sets. I mean, it's an offense where you see a lot of tight ends. And I don't know if that, I mean, would that have changed if we bring in a Jacoby Myers? Probably. But I don't know if it would have been a three. I think they feel like, hey, we'll go forward. We're not going to overpay. Let's see what Calvin Austin can do. We bring in MVS. Maybe we catch a flyer on him. And I think that was their mindset.
Jeff, what would you think of the Steelers' defensive back room if Asante Samuel Jr. ended up signing here? He's going to take a visit. He has multiple visits after his procedure on his spine. But if he ends up signing with the Steelers, what do you think about the defensive backs?
Oh, I would love it. I mean, to have that depth, to add him to the mix and be a part of however they want to redesign that, and maybe Slay. I know he hasn't played a lot of slot, but maybe that's a position you could look at for him. But the competition is strong for Samuel. And here's the other thing. You don't have to have him. I mean, you'd like to have him, but you don't have to. You've got starters set there, as much as people may not like Slay or worry about penalties with Joey Porter. I mean, it's not a necessity, but man, that would be a nice add. And look, the Steelers have gone after former first round picks often over the last 5 years. I mean, think of all the different names, you know, from Taco Charlton to the safety from WVU to, I mean, there have been different guys that they've brought in, tried to reclaim. Most of them haven't worked. But you bring in a guy who's still only 26 with that kind of talent, I would love it.
Pitt, 24th in the initial college football playoff rankings, Jeff. I know this Notre Dame game is going to be huge in a couple of weeks. A really difficult three-game stretch that presents a lot of opportunity. How do you view this three-game stretch, and do you think that they would merit consideration for an at-large bid if they won the final three but didn't get to play in the ACC championship game?
I mean, a lot of things would have to happen for that. But, you know, I saw ESPN's first story, and they're like, they list the probables, and they had Virginia, I think, is in from the ACC, and Pitt is out. Well, how is Pitt out? If Pitt wins out, it's right there for them. I mean, I know there are some tiebreakers and some crazy things that you kind of want to root for. If Pitt takes care of Notre Dame, I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying if they were to do that, I think that jumps them in the polls. And then you would need, like, you want the scenario you want to already get mad about? You beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame gets in ahead of you.
Oh,
that's
not
the scenario.
Not impossible.
Right.
I mean, everybody should be mad about Notre Dame just existing the way that they exist, frankly. I mean, they've lost two games, and, I mean, they're going to get in every damn year. Every damn year they're going to get in. Anyway.
Guys, I know you guys do as well. Listen, at 2-2, you blew a couple of leads in the games you should have won. You make a big-time decision to go to a freshman quarterback after paying Eli and convincing him to stay, and you roll off 5 in a row. I mean, how much fun has this been? I know this stretch of last three is going to be difficult, but a gutsy call has paid off, and, man, it's fun to watch Mason play football.
No doubt.
Do you think the Steelers beat the Chargers on Sunday, Jeff?
I do.
Woo!
I do. I not six turnovers, but I think, I mean, at what point do those tackles, the tackle issues with Los Angeles, you know, bear fruit? And, man, if there are two guys off the edge and you throw in a Herbig as well, I like the fact that I think they can get pressure. If they can do what they did linebacker-wise, stay in their gaps, make sure not let Herbert run the football. If Herbert uses his legs, they're in trouble. But maybe I'm going to fall into that false sense of the roller coaster we've seen from the defense this year, that they can follow this up with a good performance.
Jeff, wonderful as always. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Doran, congrats, girl dad.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks,
Jeff. Great job last weekend, man.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Interesting tidbit. The last four times a Pope has passed away.
What the hell?
Notre Dame's won 9 games. Serious. They have two losses, which means they're going to lose another game. I've been waiting for that one. And they're going to lose to Pitt next Saturday.
Because the Pope died.
Okay, you want me to send it to you?
I mean, I believe you.
Jeff, you believe in that kind of stuff?
Of all the stats I've heard, that's one of them.
You know, the last six
someone
times.
Someone stopped me at work the other day and told me that. I was like, wow.
The last six times they've named a new Dalai Lama, West Virginia's rallied to make a bowl. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Hey, you're saying there's a chance.
Bye, Jeff.
See you, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
Good night, anybody.
That Hello, was anybody. The Hawk Report.
I feel like I should say, like, dong for the death of the...
Just say, do the thing.
Hey, man.
The Hawk Report. Jeff Hathorn brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek.
It's a great one. I just looked that up. Notre Dame's surprising 9-win trend amid Pope deaths.
Who do they have left on their schedule?
Pitt. They play Navy this week. Pitt. Who else do they play? They already play USC, right?
Yeah.
Probably another ACC game. Hold on. Navy lost last week, so that doesn't bode well for the midshipmen. Dude, it's a trend. You can laugh all you want. You've grasped on to crazier stuff, like freaking, what's his name, coming to Pittsburgh?
Dwarfs?
No.
No.
Who was number 11 for the 49ers that you thought Ayuk? Was coming to Pittsburgh? Ayuk's coming to Pittsburgh. Ayuk. I heard he was in Green Tree last night. They play Syracuse and Stanford after Pitt. So who's going to beat him? Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, or Stanford? I got my money on the Panthers.
They could buck the Pope trend, Pat. I mean, they don't have to lose to anybody.
I don't know, man.
Texter writes, and this is why you have to have conversations with people, because there's always a middle ground that you can find. From the dwarf thing in the last segment. Texter, stay in your lane, Adam. Leave Pat the bleep alone. Shut your bleep, bleep, bleep. Mountaineers belong in the back with the trash. I'd be pissed too. You're lucky it wasn't me.
Wow.
I said,
I wasn't that mad.
I said, we just bust each other's balls. And he said, I know, me too. Just a diehard Pitt fan that protects its alum. That's all.
Thanks. Thanks, brother. So you're not buying the Pope trend?
We'll find
out. Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out November 15th.
Hey, the post game's going to be lit if Pitt wins.
When Pitt wins, it's going to be lit.
It'll be lit, and there will be white smoke, apparently.
Exactly. Adam, you forgot to ask Jeff if I could get a credential to go ask Rogers about the ayahuasca.
Yeah, you did.
I did forget
about
it.
You forgot to check your notes.
You suck.
You know what that means? Everybody loves Raymond. It's time to talk to Ray Fittipaldo, postgazette.com. You can read his stuff. It's also a Football Friday with Greensburg's own Donnie Football, brought to you by Smale Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg. And Ray is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, the injury situation seems a little bit murky. Who are we to be most concerned about this week?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of them. I mean, Jabril Peppers and Chuck Clark. I think Chuck Clark is going to be back for sure. You know, Peppers, we'll see what happens today. Obviously, Deshaun Elliott is still out. Trice isn't practicing. So that secondary, Joe, is still really beat up. So, you know, what Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin talked about this week, the simplified approach. I thought Terrell was really good on that yesterday, gave us some really good answers. I think we're going to continue seeing that. And based on the conversations I've had in that locker room over the past week, that is a welcome thing for this football team. They thought they all played faster. They knew what they were doing. They knew their assignments. And a lot of those guys thought that was the difference in that Colts game.
So no worries at all about Sayamalu Highsmith?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, Highsmith, he played through that high ankle sprain. So that's going to be like probably a pain tolerance thing. I thought, you know, the adrenaline got him through Sunday. So we'll see what happens there. You know, Sayamalu is always going to be questionable, I think, with that pec injury. So that's another one to keep an eye on Sunday Sunday afternoon for sure.
It seems like Seumalu is now just the offensive version of Larry Ogunjobi. Has an injury every single week, normally ends up being good to go, sometimes leaves the game early. I mean, I think he's a better player than what Ogunjobi was, especially in his final year here. But is there any shot, Ray, that one of these other offensive linemen gets activated just in that, you know, just in that case, like an Andres Pete, who has yet to be an active player, somebody like that? Because if Seumalu goes down mid-game, they want to keep running that jumbo set.
Yeah. So Pete, you're right, hasn't dressed yet. He's certainly capable. He's got a bunch of NFL starts under his belt, former first round pick. You know, Ryan McCollum can go in there and play some guard too. Obviously, Spencer Anderson can flip-flop. If they want to run that extra tackle package and move him from guard to tackle, they're certainly capable of doing that as well. But, yeah, Pete is certainly a guy who could be up this week, especially if that peck is a little, you know, a little tenuous.
Ray, we were talking about Jalen Ramsey a little bit, and, you know, it's hard not to think back to Rod Woodson. Even though I think Woodson may have gone to strong safety and Ramsey seems to be more of a free safety, but it really seems to suit him at this point in his career. Do you agree, and can you see him getting another 3, 4, 5 years? Do you think he'll want to stay at that position?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Rod played free safety, Joe. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I thought – that was the position he played. Charles Woodson, of course, made that transition as well late in his career. You know, it's always when you make a move like that, Joe, there's no going back. And I think the Steelers and Jalen both have designs on him playing some corner this year. Now, we'll see. That could certainly happen again this season if they get some of these guys healthy and they want to go back to that. But I think long term, this is a way for him to add 3, 4, maybe 5 years. I mean, Rod Woodson played, I think, until his late 30s. And, you know, and Woodson played until his mid-30s. So, yeah, this is definitely something that he should be thinking about if he wants to continue, you know, making a lot of money in the NFL.
Ray, how about the other guy back there? His very first game as a Steeler, he was here for, what, less than 72 hours before he had to buckle it up for real. Kyle Duggar played 77 of 78 snaps on defense, and for the most part, it seemed like pretty good work.
Yeah, for sure. You know, four tackles, and you didn't see any major mistakes. I think Jalen was back there telling him where to be and what to do. And, you know, with another week under his belt, you know, the hope is he understands the defense a little bit more this week. So, yeah, again, if he's going to have to be in there, I would expect it to continue to be pretty basic again. We'll see if they want to integrate Chuck Clark a little bit. You know, Clark was, I don't know, a serviceable guy, you know, in the first half of the season. Certainly an upgrade, I think, if Kyle Duggar can get up to speed on this defense. So we'll see how it goes on Sunday. But I would expect a healthy dose of Kyle Duggar more so than any of those injured guys or those sick guys who are coming back.
How close did they get to a trade, do you think? And clearly they had interest in a receiver. I mean, if you believe virtually all the reports out there, then you have to come to the conclusion that they themselves think that they needed an upgrade at receiver. Ray, how close were they? And how does this affect the team moving forward to not have upgraded?
Yeah, they certainly tried to make a trade, Joe. I don't know how close to the finish line they were, but what they were not willing to do was give up a high draft pick. You know, I think they were settled on giving up mid or late round picks to get a guy, and that just never materialized. And if you look around the league, a lot of the big names that were out there, I think those teams that employ those guys were holding out for better deals. And a lot of those guys ended up staying put. So it wasn't just the Steelers who struck out on that. I think, you know, a lot of other teams did as well. You know, Jakobi Meyers is kind of like that mid-range guy, good player, probably the best receiver who did end up getting traded. But, you know, what did they get for him? Like a 4 and a 6? I mean, I don't, for a rental, I don't know that that's worth it, Joe. I mean, maybe maybe it could have worked out if Myers was dealt here, but you know, they're going to try to make it work with their heavy tight end packages and the receivers they currently have on the roster, and maybe MVS down the road a little bit here.
Ray, do you think they were a little bit hesitant to move a fourth because in the Omar Khan draft history so far, it does seem like none of the fourth round picks have been misses, and a couple of them I would say have been hits so far. Nick Herbig in 23, Mason McCormick in 24, Jack Sawyer this past year. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, obviously the quarterback part of this is part of the equation. And I also think you have to think about the comp picks that everyone's talking about. You know, they're, I forget what the number is. It's double digit picks in this upcoming draft. And, you know, back in the spring when Fields was a free agent, Wilson was a free agent, you know, there were expectations that those were going to be third round picks. Well, Russell Wilson has been benched. That probably falls down to a five or a six, I would think. You know, Fields is still playing, so that's probably still going to be okay. But you know, some of those other free agents who left, you know, it's going to depend on how they finish the season. You know, if those guys stay in the lineup, then that's going to be good for the Steelers. But I think Omar's obviously keeping an eye on that as well. So I think it's all three of those things that factored into that decision.
Do you buy into the conspiracy theory at all? I don't, for what it's worth. I thought it seemed a little bit silly that Art Rooney, too, stepped in and made sure that they didn't move any draft capital because they want to make the weekend in Pittsburgh in late April a real spectacle.
Well, I think it's going to be a spectacle no matter what. And I think Art is probably one of the more level-headed owners. I think he's going to trust his front office and, you know, his coaching staff to make the right call. If they end up picking a guard instead of a quarterback, you know, I think he would be on board with that. What they don't want to go through, guys, is they don't want to have another Kenny Pickett situation where you're maybe drafting a guy, you know, mid to late first round and you're taking a stab in the dark. They don't want to do that. They want to move up, get some picks, and get one of these guys who's, you know, probably going to be a top 10 or top 15 pick. So a lot of deals were made here in the last week, a lot of teams with multiple first-round picks. So theoretically, it's going to be a little bit harder for the Steelers to go up and get one of those guys. But I think they're certainly going to try.
I mean, the latest mock drafts, there's not even one of those guys to go up and get. I just saw one yesterday where the first quarterback is going seventh, and it's Mendoza. And the Steelers stood pat wherever this I think it was on the Athletic, Dane Brugler, whatever his name is.
Brugler.
They had them in the 20s getting the kid from Oregon. So I don't know that they're going to have to, if they like one of these guys, I don't even know if they're going to have to move up. That's how bad this quarterback class has been, Ray. How disappointing it's been.
Yeah, it's been disappointing for 2 months. But you and Donnie both know quarterbacks always get pushed up draft boards. Those guys might be rated, you know, the number 7 and number 20 overall prospects, but in the end, I think the top 3 quarterbacks are probably going to go in the top 10. I don't think this is another Kenny Pickett draft where the other quarterbacks are Desmond Ridder and God knows who else. I think this is still going to be a better class than that. So and let's see how it plays out. You still got, you know, a few more games here for these guys. You got bowl games. You obviously got the postseason workouts. So, you know, some of these guys might be able to change their draft position in the next couple of months.
Ray, who do you think has been the Steelers' best defensive player so far?
You know, Herbig probably hasn't played enough to say that, but Herbig has been really, really good. People are down on TJ because the numbers are down, but there's circumstances there. You know, Cam's been really solid. I don't know that they've had a great player, you know, in the first half of the season, but I'd probably pick somebody in the front 7. I'd probably have to go with Herbig or TJ Watt or Cam Haywood.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. We are out at Bowser Chevy right now in Monroeville, Studio B, the studio they built just for Donnie and I. We're having a great time here on a Donnie Football Friday. All right, Ray, size up this game, if you could, for us. What's the biggest concern? Who do you think's going to win?
Well, Justin Herbert leads the NFL in passing. They are a good offense. You know, kind of think of like Jim Harbaugh teams and, you know, just, you know, what he's had over the years, and kind of think of strong defenses and, you know, score just enough to win. But these guys are top five in total offense. They got a really good running game, Joe, even though Omarion Hampton and Najee Harris have been hurt for much of the season. So that's one thing that hasn't changed with Harbaugh. So I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. You know, the Steelers' offense, as we know, they're going to put up points. I don't think those guys have had a bad game yet, and I don't expect one on Sunday night. So, you know, I'm picking the Chargers in a close game, but I certainly think it's going to be competitive. And I think the Steelers' offense against the Chargers' defense, they're going to have a chance to put up some points here.
Ray, do we see MVS make his Steelers debut Sunday night? And if not, when do we see him?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen on Sunday night. You know, I think they want to, you know, get him used to the offense. And, you know, they probably could dress him if they wanted to. And, you know, he could have one or two plays that he has to know. Kind of like what they did with Mike Williams last year, you know. They threw Mike Williams in the game late. I think he had 9 snaps in that game, and one of them produced a touchdown that was a game winner. So they could certainly do that. But in terms of him getting comfortable and actually playing a bunch of snaps in a game, I think we're probably a couple of weeks away from that.
I know they acted as if Aaron Rodgers didn't have much of a say in that move happening, but MVS certainly made it sound that way. What you guys asked him the other day, what brought you here? And he pretty much just pointed his finger at Aaron Rodgers. So it does seem like, you know, they still have a pretty good relationship, and he can get them up to speed relatively quickly.
Yeah, you would think they do have a really good relationship. You know, he played 4 years with Aaron in Green Bay before he went off to the Chiefs. And, you know, he's kind of bounced around since then. He's 31 years old. You know, he's a guy who's known for his wheels. So that's another thing I think the Steelers kind of want to judge here in practices. Okay, do you still have the deep speed that you once had? Can you still take a top off of defense? I think, you know, early in the season, Donnie, you saw Calvin Austin run a lot of deep routes, and DK was more the short and intermediate stuff. Like, I still don't know how many deep balls they've thrown to DK. Certainly not a lot that have been completed. So, you know, MVS, if he still has the speed, that's certainly an element that he could bring to it. And I don't have to tell you, having a guy who's 6'1", 6'2", instead of a guy who's 5'9", that certainly makes a difference on some of those 50-50 balls.
I mean, if he gives them anywhere close to the half-season production that he had in New Orleans last year, I would say that's a win. 17 grabs, 385, 4 touchdowns. He averaged almost 23 yards per reception. I mean, if they get something like that, then you can rubber stamp that as a huge W to just get this guy off the scrap heap.
Yeah, and I know Mike Tomlin wanted to downplay it, you know, just emphasizing he's just a practice squatter. But when you have that deep relationship with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, a guy who wants to be on the same page with his receivers, and, you know, these receivers who have been with the Steelers have, for the most part, done a really good job with that. Maybe Roman Wilson is still learning you know, the NFL game. So Aaron's developed a rapport with, I would say, the majority of these guys this year, but MVS has a longer history than any of these guys. We're talking a couple of months here with DK and Roman and Calvin. And, you know, you're talking deep, deep experience with MVS. So I think, you know, you could see that come to light here once he does get on the 53. I think it does have a chance of working out for the Steelers.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray, back by popular demand, free association. Are you game?
I am game. Donnie was disappointed last week we didn't do it.
I sensed that. Yeah, that's what I meant. It was him, and it was some listener feedback. They want it, and we're going to provide it. Here we go. Kyle Duggar will be here beyond this year.
I don't think so.
Troy Fatanu is going to be an all-pro someday.
Yes. Might actually make the Pro Bowl this year.
Mm. Caleb Johnson's workload is going to be going up starting this week.
Not convinced of that, no.
You agree with Pro Football Focus that Cam Hayward is a mid-season all-pro?
Yeah, Cam's been really good, yes.
MVS, he's going to play this week, yes or no?
No.
Best team in the AFC?
Buffalo.
Who's coming out of the AFC for the Super Bowl?
Buffalo. I'm still sticking with the best quarterbacks. I know the Colts and the Patriots are at the top now, but I'm still sticking with my preseason pick.
Steelers win this division.
I'm going to say no, Joe.
Ooh. Ravens win at the Vikings this weekend.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers over under 39.5 touchdown passes.
Under.
Steelers MVP is who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Highsmith will play Sunday.
Yes.
Highsmith will be traded this offseason with Herbig and Sawyer behind him.
Man, that's going to be a great topic in January and February, but I'm going to lean yes on that.
Great Derek Harmon so far.
Derek Harmon is a B+, A- in my book. Really great good Artie, so far.
Great Artie Smith so far.
I'd give Artie a solid B.
And if Roman Wilson has a chance to make a play late in the game, he'll try the Roman leap.
He better not, or he actually might be in the doghouse this week.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions. Do you, Donnie?
No, I think I'm good, Joe.
He thinks the Steelers won't win the division. How about that?
I think that's something we could get into.
So do I. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
Wonderful, man. Now, listen. I wouldn't be shocked, Donnie, if the Steelers win and the Ravens lose this weekend. Minnesota just went into Detroit and won. That's not a bad football team. And I think J.J. McCarthy took a big leap in that game. If I had to pick, I'd probably pick Lamar to beat the Vikings, but nobody would be surprised if the Vikings beat the Ravens, would they?
It does feel a little bit to me like the Ravens as a whole are turning a bit of a corner.
And sure.
I know that they haven't played the best teams in football the last two games, but their defense, too, has turned that corner. They shut down a Bears team that to that point won four games in a row. Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson started to cook a little bit. And then last week they go into Miami, and I know the Dolphins have been really a bipolar football team. They've been all over the place. I don't know how Mike McDaniel is still there, but the Dolphins, coming off a game where they score 30 points on the road, they come back home, they get shut down, they score six. They put some yards up, but they, just turn the football over. They can't get into the end zone. The Ravens win that game pretty comfortably, and Lamar didn't even have to be Superman in that game. He threw four touchdown passes, but he barely ran.
I know, and I know how good he is, but I think 1-5 is a big hole where you could play well in Minnesota and lose. You could play well in Green Bay and lose. You could play well against the Patriots and lose. They've left themselves almost no margin for error.
Right, and that the final few games of the season are going to be a lot of fun, assuming that the Steelers stay on track for the most part. I mean, yeah. I don't see them completely crumbling at any point. It is working to a point where that final game, that Week 18 game in Pittsburgh, Ravens-Steelers, that could be that one that the league flexes into Sunday Night Football. Like, that could be a de facto AFC North championship game, the way things are going.
Do you agree with that, Limits? Do you guys think, give me a yes or no, Donnie and Limits, will the game here, the final game of the regular season, be for the AFC North?
Donnie? Yes.
Limits?
Yes, I believe it will.
I say no, the Steelers will have it wrapped up. Yeah.
Man, that'd be a really nice feeling. I mean, we haven't experienced that since, what, 2020.
2020, but then the feeling went away 6 days later when a guy named Frank showed up in the Browns huddle and they won 48 to whatever it was.
And their coach was in his man cave.
Exactly. I just think that the Ravens have dug too big of a hole. It's and even the game in Cleveland in 2 weeks, like you can't get upset. You have to win almost every game getting down to that final steal. Well, you certainly have to keep pace with the Steelers is what you really have to do. So I shouldn't really say that. What the Ravens have to do is be within two games of the Steelers when they host them December 7th. They have to maintain that two-game gap, right? Because then they maintain control, because if they beat the Steelers twice, they'll win the division. Mm-hmm. Win out, you know? But that's a lot to ask. There's a reason when you start 1-5, Donnie, that you almost never make it.
Yeah, I mean, we also do have to keep in mind that we have seen multiple times with Lamar Jackson as the Ravens quarterback that they have been in a hole against the Steelers. They've been in a hole in the final month of the season when it comes to the AFC North. Last season was one of them. They were multiple games behind the Steelers in December. They came back and won the division with ease. With ease. I mean, the Steelers made it easy on them because they just lost every single game in that final month. But the Ravens have been in this hole before, and I think they would believe in the guy that plays quarterback for them every single Sunday, no matter who they play.
Jerry Dulac wrote a piece where today in the Post-Gazette, why no trade? Steelers value those picks, especially now. And it's a fair point. You know, he's talking about picks beyond the first round that have or might pan out. He said these are the reasons that they didn't make a deal. Calvin Austin, Darnell Washington, Mason McCormick, Roman Wilson, Peyton Wilson, Nick Herbig, Jack Sawyer. These are players the Steelers acquired either the third or fourth round. That's why they value those mid-round picks. And it's fair. That's very fair. But they have so many of them. So a fourth and a fifth to sort of uphold the theme of we're bringing in Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay. I mean, I don't think, given the number of picks they have, Donnie, that they were really they still would have had all these picks.
He's doing Roman Wilson a lot of favors, including him in that group as well. I think all of the other players are pretty deserving to be in there. Not every single guy is going to be a hit, but it is a pretty good track record there under Omar Khan that, you know, maybe he hasn't nailed every single first round pick or even every single second round pick, but he has had a pretty good run, he and Andy Weidel, in those middle rounds. You know, that's where things start to really just become question marks, and it's sort of like throwing, at a dartboard.
Yeah.
But it seems like more guys have been key contributors than, you know, total waste on the roster.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, Fan Hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service. And on the line right now, the Super Bowl champion, a man who was sitting right next to Ben Roethlisberger at that incredible Super Bowl 40 reunion at Heinz Field. I called it Heinz Field. At Acrisure Stadium last Sunday.
It was Heinz Field when they won it.
Absolutely. B-Mac, Bryant McFadden back with us. B-Mac, what was that weekend like for you?
Honestly, it was amazing. Just to be able to get together after 20 years, it was amazing, man. Seeing most of the guys there, most of the coaches were there, being able to reflect and reminisce and talk about memories that we endured throughout that story-filled season, and just seeing the appreciation from the fans that were there, man. It's a surreal feeling. And the thing about becoming a champion, you know, on a professional level, at some point in time in your career, you will be considered a former player, but never in your lifetime will you be considered a former champion. Once a champion, always a champion, and we were able to achieve that. And the thing about the fifth Super Bowl, which was Super Bowl 40, for us to become the first organization to get to six, the fifth had to happen. And I was just happy to be a part of that amazing group.
And so was Jeff Reed, based on some of the pictures I saw of him, B-Mac. Yeah. He looked like he was having some fun.
B-Mac, how did he get in the very dead center of that picture, man?
Jeff Reed is going to do Jeff Reed like things. Jeff Reed, the only thing that has changed with Jeff Reed is his age. He still has a unique sense of humor, his personality, and he just fits who he was, man. And think about Jeff Reed, especially in 2005, man, he made big kicks for us.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Massive kicks, man. He came through in the clutch. And the thing I remember most about Jeff Reed, anytime there was a game-winning field goal attempt, I never wavered. I never felt like, man, he might not get it. I mean, let's go. Remember the Monday night game against the Chargers? That Monday night game against the Chargers, man, out in San Diego, man, he came in with the utmost confidence and sealed the deal for us. So Jeff Reed is Jeff Reed.
Of all your teammates who were in that picture, who looked like if they needed to play tomorrow would be out there and could get after it?
Even though he lost some weight, he's still strong as an ox. I'll say Casey Hampton.
And now
we won't ask you about the guys that went the other way, B-Mac.
Well, thank you. But the thing about Hemp lost weight, of course. If you haven't seen Casey Hampton, he slimmed up a lot. But he's still probably north of 280, but he's still strong. I remember, so Larry Foote was already joking about, man, Hemp, I know you done lost some weight. I believe I can slam you now. And first thing Hemp said would grab me. Try me and see.
B-Mac, in that picture, who was it, Pony, that we were laughing about was getting man spread? You know, somebody else was sitting next to them, had their legs spread. Bettis. Bettis was sitting next to whoever.
His legs were spread out, and Fanica had to get real skinny.
Yeah, B-Mac. Poor Fanica had to get real skinny, and he got real skinny because on the other side of him was Art II, so he can't, like, push into Art. He was in a horrible spot
and
for Bettis a former O-lineman.
Bettis had his legs all spaced out
there. Bettis looked like he was in the middle seat on a plane just
like
establishing dominance. Yeah.
Hey, that's the thing about Big Red. Big Red is no longer Big Red anymore because, to your point, he can't get skinny now because he lost a lot of weight sitting in that type of position.
You saw the Steelers turn in what was defensively like a Super Bowl 40, Super Bowl 43 vintage performance there, B-Mac, didn't you?
No question. And shouts out to Pony. Pony is an emotional roller coaster with Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't know.
You don't
exactly
say,
what you're gonna get.
B-Mac, that might be the understatement of the entire year by you, right?
I called it.
For fans there in Pittsburgh that listen to the Fan weekly and daily, Pony is the one radio personality where they love and they hate him all together. I know you receive hate mail weekly, Pony. It had to be
daily,
but shouts out
hourly,
to Pony, because you gave the affirmation last week. You did. You gave the affirmation and said, this is the game that Pittsburgh is going to beat them. This is what they do. So shots out to you, but it was a much-needed win, man. You needed to win that ball game, and you needed that defensive performance, because the thing about the defensive performances in weeks past, they weren't delivering because they lacked talent. They weren't delivering because of lack of execution and just a lack of communication. But they got the dudes on the defense on every level. They got dudes. So that's that was the most confusing part about what we saw against Cincinnati, what we saw against Green Bay, where fans were like really scratching their head, like, what the freak is going on? But they were able to put together against the Colts. They slowed down the Colts' momentum, and they won the ball game. And like I said earlier this week, the final score, the game was not that close at all. That game was not that close based on what the final score was. Now the question is, can they take that same show last week on the road this week?
Do you think they can?
I think they can. This is a favorable matchup for the Chargers. Now, the thing about the Chargers, guys, Coach Harbaugh, in terms of just being a really, really good coach, man, he can coach football. He can coach football because they're dealing with a lot of injuries, but you can't tell. They still find ways to win. But for the Steelers, number one, without Amarion Hampton in the fold, they've had issues running the football. So now they're almost forced to be one-dimensional. And if you're forced to be one-dimensional with our edge rushers, that's not a good recipe for success. So that's why I think this is a great matchup for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for offensively, you know, you got to protect the football and allow 8 to do what 8 has been doing.
Pony and I, though, had a bit of a debate, and I'm wondering about your perspective as a guy who actually played defense. I said, if as a fan, it would have actually been, weirdly enough, more reassuring to me to see the Steelers' defense in that Colts game just forcing punt after punt after punt, just kind of like brick-walling those guys. Like the 2000 Ravens used to do this a lot, I feel like. Versus forcing so many turnovers, just because as an observer, I think, man, turnovers are not something you can necessarily count on. A guy might drop a ball, you're not going to get a fumble, or it bounces back to the other team. How do you look at like that style of defense, you know, as far as is it when you're on the defense, you're like, yeah, we're going to force, you know, 4 more, 6 more next week, or are you trying to just get more stops because that's more sustainable maybe?
Well, turnovers and stops are basically essentially the same thing, right? You get your offense the football. If you force them to punt, the offense receives the football. If you force the turnover, the offense receives the football. And the thing about turnovers, they're contagious. They come in bunches. They come in bunches. And I remember our personal goal when I was there with Coach LeBeau, our personal turnover goal was 3 turnovers a game. That's what we wanted to force. That was the goal. And if you look at some of those outstanding defenses, man, we were very, very close to doing that weekly. So what we saw last week can definitely jumpstart a consistency in turning the football over. But if you're not able to do that, you still have the mindset to be able to force the necessary punts.
Yeah.
Because what we saw last week, Jonathan Taylor was the hottest running back in the National Football League before Sunday. And, man, they effaced him out of the game plan. So that's why I said this matchup with the Chargers Sunday, it's a great matchup because they're almost one-dimensional out the gate because they can't run the football. They don't have the personnel to do so. And they just lost Joe Alt for the season. They're missing both tackles.
Yep.
They just brought in Trevor Penne, former first rounder from the Saints, but heck, he won't be as acclimated with this game, with their game plan in a week's time. So to your question, you want both. That's what you want. You want both. You want to be able to force turnovers, but you also want to be able to force the punts. So what happens if the Steelers are not forcing the necessary turnovers? Remember against the Patriots, they had 5 turnovers, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep.
And we won that ball game. Now we saw we had 6 last week. Are they good enough to still be dominant if they're not forcing the turnovers? I think so.
How about the decision to not do anything at the trade deadline? DK Metcalf came out this week and said, hey, eventually they're going to have to respect the other guys in this offense. I don't agree with that. Those guys got to do something to cause the defense to change up what they're doing and not double team DK Metcalf. I wanted help. I thought Shaheed or Myers would have helped, and it wouldn't have taken a lot to get him, B-Mac. What do you think?
No question. And this is what I heard. Now, you guys' boots are on the ground there in Pittsburgh, so probably you got more information than I do from afar. But what I heard was Omar tried to get Shaheed, and Mickey Loomis allowed Shaheed because the compensation was basically the same. So whatever Seattle was offering, Pittsburgh was offering the same thing. Now, this is what I heard. I don't know how true it is. I'm just telling you what I heard. But Mickey Loomis allowed Shaheed to pick which team you wanted to go to. And I heard he decided to go with Seattle.
Well, he played for the offensive coordinator, and Kubiak was in New Orleans with him, so that would make sense.
Which would make perfect sense, right? So Omar tried. Unfortunately, the player he identified as that one missing piece decided to go elsewhere, to go to familiar into a more familiar situation, which you can't not. So to answer your question, they tried, from what I heard. Like I said, you know, you guys can go ahead and do your due diligence to see how concrete that is. But yeah, that's what I heard. And we've already we knew they were trying to get wide receivers. I mean, they were trying for a long, long time to get wide receivers. So the question is, who can step up outside of DK Metcalf, outside of the tight ends? We don't know. Calvin Austin is serviceable, no question. But we need more. We need more. Can Roman Wilson bounce back from last week, right, the turnover? Can he bounce back? Now, I'm going to throw out a name that I think could emerge, especially in the month of November, late November, early December, that could actually help us out. That's MVS, Marcus Valdes-Scantling. I think he could emerge to be a playmaker once he gets accustomed to this playbook and already being familiar with Aaron Rodgers, because there is a need at the wide receiver position. Omar tried. We struck out. Now we got to go to battle with the guys in the locker room.
Man. Do you believe in Roman Wilson? Like, Mike Tomlin, I thought it was interesting, BMAC. He gets asked about, or he lumps Wilson in with his skill guys and says he's largely on an upward trajectory. And then I feel like Mike, in a backwards way, only said what he said next because he actually still is optimistic about the guy. He just goes, except for the boneheaded play at the end of the game with ball security, and made it a point to say that. And I actually felt like he said it that way in a weird way because he still believes in the guy. Like, if he just didn't mention him or ignored him altogether, I would feel worse about Wilson standing within the team than I do after hearing that.
I take it as twofold. I take it as, yes, he still believes in him, but I also take it as his patience is starting to run short.
Gotcha.
That's what I take it as. Because to your point, he mentioned his name, but he also mentioned the negative thing that was associated with him late in that ballgame.
So he's on, like, probation, you think.
But, on the scales of these things, if you don't even get mentioned by the head coach, that's even worse, right?
Yeah, that's why I said I take it as twofold. I think two things can be true, right? But with Roman, we need to see something, bro. We got to see something. This is year one for him, basically, because he missed his entire first year. And the thing about Roman in this situation, he didn't come into a room where it was just filled with great players. You know what I mean? I go back to my rookie year, and remember Nate Washington, who was an undrafted free agent who made the team?
Yep.
Look at the room that he walked into. You had a Hines. You had Randall Well. Remember they signed Cedric Wilson over from San Francisco, a guy who could play really, really good football. You know what I mean? They had Lee Mays. They had guys already in the building. So he walked into an experienced room, and these guys have shown the ability to make plays, and they have. But he got it from the muscle. When you look at Roman Wilson, especially this year, the opportunity is there. When they traded away George Pickens, the opportunity is there. For some reason, he hasn't grasped the opportunity. Is it a above-the-shoulder issue or more just consistency?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? That's a question that I have, because he has the athleticism. He has the speed, the quickness, right, based on what he did at the combine and watching his collegiate tape. But something is not clicking for him to not get into that rotation and basically be the Calvin Austin.
Well, it sounds to me, BMAC, like you love the Steelers in this game. They're a 3-point underdog. I'm sensing you're saying, the heck with the 3 points. I'm just going to pick the Steelers to win the game outright, and you're going to give us the star of the game to boot.
I am. Like, you know, I listened to a lot of E-40 growing up. Shouts out to all the California Bay Area listeners and listeners. So he sprinkled me was one of his hit songs. Time-a, 40 water, sprinkle me. Sprinkle me the money line, man. There's good value in that. Yeah, that's good. Man, this is a matchup. This is where you got to create separation. In the words of Mike Tomlin, this is what he used to tell us all the time. In November and December, either you're thriving or you're surviving. Which team are you? The teams that are thriving in the month of November and December, they have their eyes set on the prize, which is a playoff spot. The teams that are surviving, they ain't going to get there. This is when you show that we're thriving. Take what you did last week and bring it on the road out there to the West Coast and take over. I like Pittsburgh to win outright. I don't want no points. And my star of the game. Last week, did I go offensive defense? Do you guys remember?
You said you were going to change it up. And then I think.
Yeah.
Last week, who did I go last week? Do you remember?
I think you went Boswell.
No, I didn't go Bos.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
I know I didn't go Bos.
Did you? I thought you like went with two people.
Yeah, you did. I got to go. I got to look it back up. I need to write these things down from now on.
I usually track this stuff,
B-Mac. Yeah. And why you guys don't remember? You guys act like you had a few concussions.
B-Mac, if you go by me not remembering things that happen on the show, you just think that I don't actually have a brain. Pony remembers all of it, and I'm the opposite end. I'm like the dude from the movie Memento. As soon as the show's over, it's gone.
I was also in recovery from getting my nipples pierced, B-Mac, so things are kind of all blurry for me.
Oh, you know what? I got one for you.
Go ahead.
I got to go DK now. It's time for DK to do something. I just hope I'm not playing against DK in any of my fantasy leagues, but I'm calling for DK right now. DK will be my star of the game.
B-Mac, we'll be watching. We know you will, and we'll talk again next week. Appreciate it.
See you, B-Mac.
Thank you.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. How about that Saints-Steelers juicy nugget from B-Mac there? Steelers had a deal with the Saints. Saints also had a deal with the Seahawks. Pretty much the same
Shaheed,
thing.
You're free. You can go wherever you want.
Pick where you want to go, and he picked Seattle.
I'd pick Seattle, too, if I were him. Regardless of the coordinator situation, they appear to be cooking with a capital C.
You know what I say back to that?
What do you say back to that, Pony?
If the Saints GM knew that the offers were equal,
why didn't he just
And Omar knew that they were equal, make a better offer, so he has to trade Shaheed here. One-up him.
Unless you don't want him that bad.
Let's do the Donnie football debrief next. Donnie's biggest football topic of the day. Mark Cabali after that. First, a headline.
Chris Carter never annoys us. That's why we have him on every Friday at 8. He joins us right now. He, of course, is the host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. And he is the filmer breaker downer guy for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hi, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, fellas? Where would I be if you guys did a MySpace top 16 friends for you guys?
You? I mean, you're one of our top 16 for damn sure.
Media friends?
Yes.
Oh, you're at the top of my list.
Wow.
There we go, baby.
I see you're eulogizing Dick Cheney with your t-shirt today, Chris.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Adam. We don't do that here. No. This is Cheney University. The first historically black college. You knew you were wrong when you did that.
This is one of my favorite.
He actually probably didn't know because he doesn't know any black colleges.
First of all, I do.
He did think my Jackie Robinson shirt was Robinson Township.
No, it's all a bit. And then I did it with another one too. Wasn't there one more that I did?
The other one that you did was a bit. The Robinson Township, though, I don't think
that was real. That was real.
Or how about the time you asked to be in the Pittsburgh Courier for 40 under 40, right?
Yeah, I did screw that one up. Doran, why am I not on the list? I'm under 40. It's for black people, Adam.
This is great.
All right, Chris, we'll get into the matchup, obviously. That's mostly why you're here. But do you feel like the Steelers erred in not adding a wide receiver at the deadline?
You know, it would have been nice to get one, but it all comes down to what you would have had to give up for it. And, like, I think the thing that people sometimes forget is that the Steelers, when you're talking about giving up, oh, they should have just given up a fourth. They should have given up this. They should have given up that. But the Steelers are, like, hitting with their third and fourth and fifth round picks right now. I mean, you look at their guys from the third, just in the third and fourth round the last few years under Omar Khan. Got Darnell Washington, who's a pretty good player for you right now, important contributor in the run game and the pass game. You got Nick Herbig, a fourth-round pick. Everyone is like, why can't this guy get on the field more? You got Roman Wilson, who had a boneheaded moment this last week, but is trending upwards. Peyton Wilson, who had a phenomenal game last week, arguably his best as a Steeler. Mason McCormick, who starting right guard, is another fourth-round pick. And then this year you got Caleb Johnson, who is behind two good running backs and, you know, is trying to work his way up. But you got Jack Sawyer, who's, you know, your fourth guy in the OLB rotation. It's kind of solid. You're hitting on those picks. And so I don't know if just giving away one of those picks for a rental receiver was the answer. Now, I also – and here's the other thing about this too is I know some people are like, well, what if they weren't getting a rental? What if they were getting a long-term guy? I kind of look at this draft class, and there's a lot of really good receivers coming up here that even if you didn't get spent in the first round, second, third, fourth round, with all those picks that you have in the middle of the draft, they're going to have a good shot at getting a really good young wide receiver to add to this group next year in the draft class that'll be part of the long-term answer. And I, as I said all along, this was never an all-in year. The Steelers weren't going to be giving up this upcoming year's draft picks, even if it's not for quarterback, just in general. They see this as a year that's like, hey, we want to be competitive. We are competitive. We're doing that right now. But the goal is to create another real Super Bowl window that's not just a year or two. They want to open it back up so they have a franchise quarterback, young and in his prime, surrounded by talent on offense and defense that gives them several bites at the apple, kind of like they did where they had Ben Roethlisberger in a few different stints.
Well, do you think that MVS will be up this Sunday? And if he's not, or if he is, what do you think the ultimate plan is for MVS in the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think he'll be active.
Whoa.
I think they're going to work him in. I think part of what MVS brings is Aaron Rodgers can tell that guy what he wants, when he wants, and he'll do it. And even if Aaron Rodgers, like, you know, Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, and Aaron Rodgers all swear that Aaron Rodgers said nothing about adding this guy, I don't okay, but I do think that they could have, even if that's true, I can see Omar Khan being like, hey, let's add this guy for free who knows Aaron, who will be able to learn quickly with him, and even if he doesn't fully know our system yet, Aaron can be like, MVS, do this, and he'll do that, and it'll fit right in with what they're doing, and so I get that. And he's also a different type of body wide receiver. You know, their two best guys behind DK are all small, quick guys and fast guys. And so MVS can be a guy who comes in, is your go ball guy, can go up and get the football. So I think that he's in there, but I don't think that he outsnaps Wilson or Austin. But I do think that he's part of a rotation, and they might use him as a guy who lines up on the outside that just forces the safety to consider, hey, do I pinch to the sideline on this play? Because I know that guy could go up and get the football. I know Aaron really likes to throw to him, and who knows, maybe Aaron hits him with one of those plays. But, yeah, I expect him in the rotation, just not a featured part of the offense.
Chris Carter joining us in the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Carter Critiques. All right, so Jalen Ramsey's going to stay put at safety this week, according to Mike Tomlin and according to Terrell Austin. A, do you like it? And B, can they replicate some of the success they had last week against Indianapolis? Will the schematics remain the same, do you think, Chris?
I think that they keep some of them the same. I think they want to keep switching it up to keep people guessing. That's something that both Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin kind of like made very clear. It's like, hey, like, yes, we liked that we kept it simple. We liked that, you know, we were to catch them off guard with those two high safety looks. But at the same time, like, you know, the next team is going to look at that and say, okay, how do we counter that? Because two high safety looks doesn't solve everything, right? It was a temporary good solution for what the Colts were trying to do, and they didn't adjust to it well. But eventually, there are ways to beat that. There are ways to go after that. And if you're the Steelers, you have to be ready for how teams are going to counter that as well. But I thought Jalen Ramsey added a juice to the defense with his ability to hit, his ability to cover, his ability to communicate. And I also think that, you know, you kind of saw, he's not an elite guy on the outside anymore at corner. Now, he's still really good. He can still pinch you and help you there. But if you put him back at the safety role where he can use his wits and his guile and his experience to be on more turnovers, that makes a lot of sense. And you can, and I think that's what him and Kyle Duggar are going to bring. I really liked Kyle Duggar, the way that he was just sticky in coverage. They assigned him to Tyler Warner. He'd take him away. There's a lot of good signs there. And so if you're the Steelers, you're saying, hey, you know what? Let's give our corners some support by keeping two safeties back there so they can be more aggressive on the passes underneath, and then it takes away the quick read. And then now when you're taking away the quick read and you're stopping the run, those are the things that lend to the pass rushers actually having time to get to the quarterback, which is why you saw 5 sacks last week.
When you think of Justin Herbert, do you think of him as being in the top tier in quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think he has the potential to be, but he's not. I think that he's had the build, he's had the cannon, he's had the athleticism, and I think he's even had the smarts, but he hasn't put it together yet. I'm sorry, the top tier is reserved for Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and
Flacco against Josh the Steelers.
Allen. and Joe Flacco when he play, whenever he plays the Steelers, yeah. But Josh Allen, and it's funny, like I want to put Burrow in that list, but the guy's too hurt all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that he's in that tier of like the Joe Burrows and the guys after that that are trying to push their way up. He's above like the guys like Trevor Lawrence, who I think still haven't figured stuff out. But I just sometimes wonder, man, like is this why Eli Manning's family was like, no, you're not going to the Chargers, you're going to the Giants. And you know, I look at Justin Herbert, and even with Jim Harbaugh, who's a good coach, I feel like he's been kind of limited. And I don't think Justin Herbert's a bad player, but I think that the Chargers have not done him many favors so far, because I think he should be putting up much bigger numbers, or at least in a much more efficient offense. And their offense isn't terrible. It's just, you know, I think they're ranked 17th in scoring, which I thought they'd be much better at that this year.
Chris, on the flip side, Aaron Rodgers going up against this defense for the Chargers, which has been really good against the pass, gave up 118 yards last week. Steelers didn't run the ball well against Indianapolis. First time in a while we've been able to say that. What do you think the plan of attack is?
I think they're going to try to get that run game going this week. I look at the heavy package with Spencer Anderson. If Isaac Seumalo could go in this game, that should be on the table. If he can't go, I think they should still try to, you know, work in an Andres Pete into the situation and say, hey, we need to be able to win these spots here. But that's, to me, that's where the potential weakness is of this Chargers defense, because, you know, they're third in passing yards allowed per game, but they're 27th in rushing yards allowed per carry. Like they're like middle of the road when it comes to rushing yards per game allowed. But when I look at this Chargers defense, they've given up quite a bit there, and they've allowed a lot of explosive runs, like to the point where they allow the second most explosive runs in the NFL, or the second highest rate, excuse me, of explosive runs in the NFL.
Oh, I love it.
If you're the Steelers, you got to find a way to crack that open for your offense. You got to get some pitches to the outside for Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, and wear them down a little bit. Be patient with that. But you know, I think it's also things that they have checks built into the offense for Aaron Rodgers to see that he has to be the person on the field that says, okay, they're in the right alignment. Let's do that right now, because that's what Aaron Rodgers gives you, is the ability to have that coach on the field that can say, hey, this is where we're going this play, and not rely on checks that come from the booth.
Final score prediction.
Final score prediction. I got the Steelers winning 31-24.
You're a wonderful man, Chris. Thank you for doing this every Friday. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Chris.
That's the great Chris Carter.
Welcome back to a Black and Gold Friday on the PM team. Steelers, Chargers, Sunday night in LA. The place where Mark Caballi tore one of his Achilles tendons. He will join us.
I thought he tore them both in LA. I could have sworn he tore them both there.
No way. If that were the case, I'd never go back if I were him.
Really?
You go once.
He tore his Achilles, though, by just walking, I think, each time. What, so you just don't walk anywhere?
I mean, I would look at it as like a...
like a sign?
Yeah, like I'm cursed every time I go there. If I went there twice and tore my Achilles both times.
I like LA, though. I wouldn't want to take that off the board for myself just, you know, because.
I don't know. If you tore your ACL twice going there, I think you probably would.
No, it'd be easier to say, like, I'm never going to Schenectady or something like that, or Poughkeepsie, or some, like, crap town in, like, New England where it's always cold and gray. LA's got a lot of crap to do.
Time for another round of Fair Game with Steelers insider Nick Faribault. Here's how it works. We give Nick an opinion or a thought on Sunday's game, and he tells us whether or not it's fair or unfair. All right, Nick, let's start with MVS. Will he play versus the Chargers? Is that fair?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think that's going to be a few weeks, and I think he's going to have to prove himself in practice, too. I think this is something where it's not a guarantee he's going to get elevated, you know, sometime in the next week or two. Maybe Thanksgiving. The Bears game, I think, is a fair one to shoot for. So that's when I would expect to see him, if we do see him soon. I don't expect to see him this Sunday, though. I think they're going to rock with what they have.
Fair to say that the Steelers will average at least 4.9 yards per carry in this game, which is what the Chargers are giving up for the entire balance of the season.
You know, I think so, Mosey. And the reason is the Chargers love to live in nickel and dime. They play, I think, the second most dime in the NFL. They're up there in terms of nickel usage. They have injuries at linebacker and on the defensive line, and they don't really match up against the Steelers' jumbo package and their Darnell Washington usage very well. And so I think the Steelers are going to be able to run the football against this team, and they're going to need to, because I think if you put the arm of Aaron Rodgers kind of on the line here and he's the guy that has to carry it, I think it's a lot more dubious against this team with Derwin James in the back, and he's kind of the guy to watch, you know, even in the run game. He's the guy that's going to be the big key. If he can kind of stack up against Washington and some of those other guys on those blocks, they might have a chance to stop the Steelers' run game out of nickel. But I do think the Steelers are actually going to be able to run the ball in this game and do a pretty good job of doing it. It's a good matchup for them in that regard.
Is it fair game that the Steelers will still have a big dose of the jumbo package if Seumalo is out for the game? And if they will, who are the guys that now take on that role, Nick?
Yeah, so I think that they will regardless. And what I think is going to end up happening is Spencer Anderson will start at guard and non-jumbo packages, but I think he's going to stay the jumbo tight end. And I think what they're going to do is bring in Andres Pete. And I think Pete is a guy that's a big kind of – he's kind of in the silo. You don't really want him to move outside the phone booth, but he can move, and he can move guys with his strength. He's big and strong. He's a veteran. He knows what to do. I think that's what they're going to do when they go jumbo. So the jumbo package is going to live. It's going to be Andres Pete at guard with Spencer Anderson, I think, staying at the jumbo tight end in those packages. But I think outside of that, Spence will be the left guard for the Steelers on Sunday. I don't expect Isaac Seumalo to play, to be quite honest with you.
Well, that eliminates one of our fair games then. Fair game to say that the Steelers have enough in their secondary to cover the top four pass catchers, Gadsden, Allen, McConkey, and Johnston.
I mean, I'm not really buying that, to be quite honest with you. I mean, good job by the Steelers for what they did last week. I think the curveballs and what they threw at the Colts were good. But I'm still skeptical of this team. It has nothing really to do with even the stats that the Colts put up. A lot of that was garbage time. I thought that was a great performance. But McConkey, Allen, Gadsden, Johnston, now Trey Harris is getting involved. So it's really a four-deep group of weapons. It's not a great matchup for them. I don't love Brandon Echols in the slot against Ladd McConkey. Echols struggles against kind of shiftier guys. The Steelers put a lot of help to him against Josh Downs. I think the fact that it wasn't on tape helped the Steelers a lot, but now it is on tape. And so as an offensive coordinator, you can call against that. So they're going to have to give Echols a lot of help in the slot with Ramsey Manning free safety. And so I do think the Chargers are going to have their chances to get the Steelers in the secondary. I don't really trust the secondary to fully shut down this Chargers passing attack. I think there's chances for them in matchups that they can exploit in this group.
So is it fair game to think that T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Nick Herbig will eat these backup offensive tackles for lunch?
See, I think that's probably going to happen, too. It's going to be really the schematics of the Steelers mitigating the quick game the Chargers have. On top of that, they have to keep Justin Herbert in the pocket. If Herbert's able to get out of the pocket, extend plays, the Steelers are going to be in trouble. He leads the NFL in rushing yards for quarterbacks
yep.
right now. I'm not sure people know that, but Herbert's been able to really scamper with his legs. We saw this in week three. Drake May was able to kind of turn things into nothing by scrambling and getting, 15 yards outside on bootlegs. If I were the Chargers, I'd, move the pocket. I would get him on rollouts. I would try and utilize the mobility for Justin Herbert and try to mitigate what Watt, Highsmith, and Herbert can do. But I do think that's going to be an issue for the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to struggle against these edge rushers. I think they're going to struggle against the Steelers' interior, too. Even the interior starters that the Chargers have, I don't think match up particularly well against Benton, Harmon, and Hayward. So I think the Steelers are going to be able to get pressure as long as the Flacco plan kind of doesn't go here where Herbert just gets the ball out in 2.3 seconds and mitigates the pass rush. That's going to be the key of this game.
Fair game to say that of the two playmaking safeties in this contest, Jalen Ramsey has a better day than Derwin James.
Yeah, I think he will. And I think Ramsey is kind of the type of player that will thrive in a matchup like this because it's going to be so heavy to the slot. It's going to be so heavy to Gadsden, a tight end. It's going to be so heavy to the kind of that intermediate part of the field because they're going to want to get the ball out fast. So they're not going to attack the boundary as much as maybe other teams would. And so I do think the Chargers are going to try and hit quick hits, choice routes, things like that that are really quick, and you're utilizing the route running ability of guys like Allen and McConkey in the middle there. But I think that plays into Ramsey's hands. He's super smart. We saw him drive on routes like that last week, and I think that fits what Jalen Ramsey does. I wouldn't be surprised if Ramsey gets his first pick at safety this week, actually, to be quite honest with you guys.
Nick, fair game to say the Steelers will extend the win streak to 2 and beat another team in the AFC with a winning record Sunday night.
You know, I'm worried about buying to the Steelers still because I think the defense needs to prove some things. And I think the offense is starting to sputter a little bit. I think that they need to figure out kind of what they are because I still think the Steelers offense is kind of a hodgepodge of things smashed together and they're not fully kind of a conglomerate yet. And I think this is going to be a week where the Steelers are going to be close. It's going to be a very close game, but I can't, you know, Justin Herbert, he has a superpower and I just think he's so good and he's going to be able to get the ball out quick. I don't like Keenan Allen and Ladd McConkey against Brandon Echols in the slot. I think that's a problem matchup. I think the pass rush will actually be fine in this, but what I think is going to end up happening is the Steelers are not going to have much of a passing game. Rodgers might throw a pick or two, and the Steelers are going to end up falling behind in the turnover battle. I think they're going to lose a close one. So I'm going to go with the Chargers in this one.
Nick Faribault, always fair game with him. Shoots it straight right down the middle. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it as always.
There you go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Today it's a Donnie Football Friday. We are live from Bowser Chevy in Monroeville. Sports Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie, I'm going to assume you have a number for me.
I do have a number, Joe, and it's 9. The Steelers are now +9 in the turnover differential. Only 2 teams in football better than them.
I got a number for you. 305. Justin Herbert leads all NFL quarterbacks in rushing. And I might add 2 more there, Donnie. 41. was his long run. This dude busted out for a 41-yard run and 6.1. That's his yards per attempt. He's the best running quarterback in football this year. Of course, he's been running for his life a lot. That accounts for some of it.
How about 50 points off turnovers that the Steelers have, plus 50 over their opponents? That is the best in football. Want to know where the Chargers come in at?
Please.
31st in the league, minus 36.
Wow. Nice number. And that's a candidate for the top number of the day. I got a number for you. If only I could pronounce his name, and I think I can. Tui Peloto at 10 tackles for loss and 7 sacks, Donnie. He is going to be a challenge to block in this game. I might throw in a forced fumble for him. He's actually a star.
And how about 4? Adafe Owe, the former Penn State great, traded from the Ravens to the Chargers a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
4 sacks since being traded to L.A. That is 5th most in the league in that time span.
I got a number for you, Donnie. It's 3, and this man leads the Steelers in rushing touchdowns with 3. Do you know who he is, Limits? Who leads the Steelers in rushing touchdowns?
Kenneth Gainwell.
Very good, Donnie.
It is Kenny G. Good pull there, Limits.
Kenny G. Go ahead.
Love Kenny G. 2.8. The Chargers blitz 6 or more defenders just 2.8%.
Wow.
Of the time. That is the lowest in the entire league.
I got a number for you. 9. For all the grief we've given him, and certainly I have, Joey Porter Jr. has 9 passes defended.
I think he had 4 last week.
Yeah.
He had a wild week. I think he gave you the full Joey Porter Jr. experience.
Yes, he did.
In that game. 87.8 is my number here. The Chargers average 87.8 more yards per game than their opponent. That is the best in the league.
That's interesting. That really is. 60.6%. That's how often the Chargers pass the ball. And according to our friend Matt Williamson over at Steelers.com, and a lot of these numbers are from him, quite frankly, only 6 offenses throw the ball at a higher rate. Now, the converse number is 63.5%. That's how often Steelers opponents throw the ball, and there's only 2 defenses in the league that face more passing. It's interesting, Donnie. People, why aren't they running more against the Steelers? Maybe because they think that the pass is so inviting, or has been until last week.
And you bring up the run game, and it makes me think of the Steelers' own run game. And my number here is 2.7. We talked about explosive plays on the offense. Pittsburgh has an explosive run rate of just 2.7%. That is 32nd. That is last in the NFL.
You'd think without Najee, that thing would go up on its own, no matter who was running the ball. You know, I thought about my previous number, why teams pass so much. The Colts did account for a lot of that. They went strictly pass. Well, they were passing early in the game, and then they had to throw. That was a crazy number of attempts. 7%. That's Aaron Rodgers' touchdown rate. That's 5th in the league, Donnie.
My number here is 165, and it's related to Aaron Rodgers. His next game with multiple touchdown passes, which could very well be Sunday night in LA, that will break a tie that Aaron Rodgers has with Peyton Manning for 3rd most multi-touchdown pass games in NFL history, and the number sits at 165.
Holy ostrich milk. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Okay, let's stay with Aaron Rodgers. 17 touchdown passes this season. That's already the most by a Steeler quarterback since Ben in 2021.
That is a damning number to some of the guys that fell in between.
Wow.
He's played 8 games.
Yeah, that's not good.
And even Russell Wilson, say what you will about him last year, he got in, what, 12 games?
Yeah.
11 or 12 games, and he had 16 touchdown passes. But, man, it was ugly there for a couple of years post-Ben. 14.8 is my number here, and this is about the Chargers defense. They play in their base defense just 14.8% of the time. Only three other defenses in the league do that less. These guys love to play in the dime. They do that almost 20% of the time.
Run on them, Donnie. Run on them. Here's a number that shocked me, actually. 2.54. That's the Steelers' points per drive. I mentioned it in the last segment. Only six offenses are producing more points per drive than the Steelers. I think that's a telling stat, Donnie. I guess it indicates if they had the ball more, we'd see more points, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what, the defense was on the field for 78 plays last week. I mean, that's a ton. I know that they won the game. It was a lot of garbage at the end. But, yeah, as many gripes as we could try to have with the offense, I mean, that matters true. And I think that another good number here is 20, because in their last six games, they have scored 20-plus points in each of those games.
And
normally, depending on your opponent, that's going to be good enough to at least be right there in every game and give your defense an opportunity to win it.
Hey, man, if you have one of the greatest defenses in history, 20 should be enough to win. I got a number for you, Donnie. 12. 12 different Steelers have recorded a sack this season.
How about 286? Brought this number up earlier. That is the yards after catch this year that DK Metcalf has. That is the third highest in the NFL. So sometimes it's tough to get him the football, but when he has it, he's explosive.
When he catches it, one is my number. One little lonely interception for Dante Jackson.
He led the team last year, didn't he?
Yes, he led this team.
What do you have, six?
They can't be that good if Dante Jackson's starting for them, Donnie, can they?
81.8 is my number here, and we get back to the Chargers passing offense. 81.8% of their touchdowns have come via passing the football, the highest percentage in the NFL.
87.3, that's the Steelers' run game. That's 30th in the league. That got to change, and it's got to change starting Sunday night, I think.
How about 23%? I don't think you did this one. Did you do the one about Aaron Rodgers passing the football 10-plus yards down the field?
No, I didn't.
Joe, his pass attempts of 10-plus yards, the lowest rate in the league at just 23%. Think of the contrast from last season. Now, they're getting better quarterback play out of Rodgers, but think about the amount of moon balls and deep passes that Russell Wilson threw last year, sometimes haphazardly.
I like it.
Rodgers the lowest in the league.
3.4, the Steelers average. I'm back to their sacks. 3.4 sacks per game. Only Denver and Detroit get to the quarterback more often. Now, I realize it's been a little boom or bust, but it goes in combination with the Chargers being pass happy. And with the Chargers having banged up doesn't begin to describe the state of their offensive line. Finish us off, Donnie. What do you got?
And I'll do it with a bang. This will be like a grand finale, like a fireworks show. The impact that Joe Alt has on Justin Herbert.
I saw this number.
Who will not play in this game. So here is a whole slew of numbers. Herbert has 184 dropbacks with Joe Alt on the field. He averages 8.3 yards per attempt, 9.1 air yards per attempt, a touchdown rate of 7.1%, and an interception rate at just 1.9%. Now, how about without Joe Alt on the field? Roughly the same number of dropbacks, 193 there. Every single number is worse for Justin Herbert. 6.5 yards per attempt, 6.9 air yards per attempt, just a 4.1 touchdown percent rate, and an interception rate that jumps up an entire percentage at 2.9.
Limits, you might say that without him, the Chargers enter an alternate universe. You like that horse?
No, I would rather say that the pass protection is Control-Alt-Delete and that the Steelers should be able to get there to Herbert.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That might be one of Limits' best.
I think he usually gives us an award. Maybe he gets the award for the best number, even though it wasn't a number.
Control-Alt-Delete.
That's unbelievable, Limits, and thank you for that.
Thank you. I came up with it on the fly.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk create in Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.